Welcome to the Home Team Podcast. Steve Carter here. And you all know that this podcast exists because we want to talk about the intersection of faith and sports, culture and family. But we got some big announcements right from the jump. We've got, NFL football player, Super Bowl winner, Trey Burton. He's on the show. I'm just a piece of work. But this guy, just breaking news yesterday, according to @ESPN PR, Sam Acho joining ESPN. Congratulations, man. How does it feel to become the face of ESPN Acho or Ocho? You get your own, they're giving you your own channel.
They're giving me my own channel, my own network. Now I'm excited. I'm excited, man. I really am. I've been auditioning with Fox, and I'd auditioned with ESPN, and had been doing stuff all the last year and some change. I've been doing stuff, trying out some TV stuff. And I was actually in LA auditioning with Fox when I found out initially about the first offer from ESPN. This was a few months ago. And I remember just not knowing, like, there were all these emotions that I didn't know what to do with. And I didn't even understand why they were happening. And I couldn't even name them. And so I remember texting one of my friends, a lot of y'all know him, my buddy Lucas. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what's going on. I think part of it too was I was ready to move to LA to do a show with my brother in LA. And that was different than what any of us had planned. But I was like, dude, I love you. And if that's what you want me to do, we'll make it happen. So that was like my plan. And then I get an offer from ESPN. And I remember texting my buddy, like, dude, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know how to explain how I feel. And we were texting back and forth. I actually remember breaking down into tears, dude, crying. And I didn't know why. And he was like, dude, as long as I've known you, this guy's known me about 10 years now. He said, this has always been your dream. This has always been what you've wanted to do. And even if you haven't verbalized it because you were playing football or you were writing books or whatever, every time we talk, you always talk about wanting to be on TV, wanting to encourage, wanting to, you know, enlarge your territory, if you will, like to speak to a broader audience. And God is honoring and answering your prayer. And so, yes, that's probably where all these emotions are coming from. And so that initial time blew me away. And then fast forward, got an offer from Fox as well, and then was negotiating Fox, then ESPN, and it just made total sense, right? The worldwide leader in sports, number one. Number two, they believe in me. Trey, you know what it's like to have a coach or a team or somebody who believes in you. Like, they're like, Yeah. Dude, we want to use you. Like, we think you could shine. You could be ESPN, the Ocho, right? They believe in me. And then they're giving me opportunity. They're like, we want you to be the lead for college football, lead analyst for college football. But we also want you to call NFL games on ESPN radio. And oh, by the way, we want you on Get Up, which is the most watched show in sports on TV. Oh, by the way, can you do Big 12 Media Day next week in person in Dallas? Oh, by the way, can you come to New York and co-host the Keyshawn Zubin and Jay Will show? I mean, they're like, we want to use you. And so, number one, huge platform, huge audience. Number two, they believe in me. And number three, they want to use me. It was like with football. Like, when I was a free agent, it was simple. I didn't know where I wanted to sign, but I wanted three things when I left Arizona after my rookie contract. I wanted an opportunity to play, right? Really to start, just give me a chance to earn a starting spot. I wanted an opportunity to make an impact off the field as well. So I wanted to go somewhere where you could make an impact, not just on the field, but in the community. And then I wanted good weather. Those were like my three things. So I went to Chicago. Didn't get the great weather part.
What? Hold on.
I didn't get
the, hold on.
Yeah.
Good weather?
That's what I wanted. I was in Arizona, bro. So I grew up in Dallas. I grew up in Texas. My parents are from Nigeria. My vacations were to Nigeria. It's like right low-key on the equator. Went to Austin, UT Austin, the greatest football school in the world. Went
I don't
to
see UT. Any problem in either one of those two.
Okay.
Continue.
Hear me out. Then I got drafted to the Arizona Cardinals. So yeah, everywhere. I'd never played in a cold weather game ever.
So you call Chicago good weather?
That's what you're, no, I said, I didn't get the good weather. But I will say this, the year before you got there, Trey, it was, so Trey got there in 2018. I got my first year was 2015. There was the mildest winter they had in like 10 or 15 years. Like the coldest it got was like 30 degrees. So God answered that. So anyways, like it was just those opportunities. And they're like, dude, we believe in you. And so with ESPN, I couldn't be more excited. I'm pumped. And I thought I was going to start in late August when football season started. Literally, they're like, next week. And I'm like, all right. And then like, oh, by the way, can you do something earlier? And then can you go here and there? I'm like, I'm all about it. I'm all for it. God really does answer prayers. And
you're gonna get like the tailor to come out, get you a few like suits. Like
I got a guy and I'm trying to contemplate if I should give him a shout out on a podcast. We can give me some free suits. Either way, I'm gonna give him a shout out. ESQ, based out of Chicago. They're good weather,
Chicago.
Good weather, Chicago.
Hey, what's the website for to get the merchandise? ESPN Yacho.
I need to trademark and patent it first before somebody gets to it. Before I got you, I'm gonna text you offline.
Thanks, my guy.
Oh, Trey, let's go to you though, man. This is an exciting. You, what I like about you is you are always about your city, your people, their state. Like you're just, I mean, what are you repping right now?
It's funny, you know, let me get on my soapbox real quick. The problem I have with you guys is you guys come at me so hard when we're not on camera, right? When we're before the show, when we're not recording, these guys are just dogging me this and that. And you know, the most useless sports stats and you blah, 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 blah. Like, I mean, I can rattle it, name it off. Ton of things these guys hate on me about. But what I will say is I live in Champa Bay and every major sport in the United States of America, a team from Tampa has represented in the championship or has won the championship in the last year. So, last night, Tampa Bay Lightning, Game 5, Montreal Canadiens, bring home another Stanley Cup. No big deal. I mean, it's just something that we do down here. I hope they don't try to toss the Stanley Cup from boat to boat during the boat parade, but just you're really enjoying it right now, and it's a great time to be a Tampa Bay native.
Dude, that's okay. Real quick, like, you know they're going to have to throw it. Like that, yeah. Like what are the odds the Stanley Cup trophy gets into the bay?
Oh, into the bay, very high. But throwing, it's tough, dude. I mean, that thing's heavy, man. It's a big trophy. Like I said before the show, and you guys are giving me crap about, they do say the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy to win in all sports.
Why?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that people say, especially going back to back.
Why? What makes it so hard to win?
Well, I think any game sevens in general are really hard to win. But I think the physicality in hockey back to back. Bro, and I'm not the biggest hockey fan. I'll be honest with you. 4 years ago, I probably started watching here and there. And in the last year or two, obviously with them winning the championship, obviously been more dialed in. But bro, they're only on the ice for like 40 seconds and then they switch with the next group and they have multiple, but I have no clue. That's just what they're saying in the arena last night. It's one of the hardest trophies to win. And so
what's interesting though, is I think with hockey is if you have a great goaltender, I mean, it's like, there's just so much confidence and you know, the Lightning with Vasi is just unstoppable. Second period, you get one goal. That's all you need. That's all you need. Like that guy,
from a rookie.
Is like, yeah, from a rookie. You know? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so like, you just sit there and you just go, if you have a couple pieces in place, the one thing about Tampa Bay Lightning that I will say is Stevie Eiserman used to be the general manager. He steps out, but they like the Cubs when the Cubs won the World Series, like they have destroyed in the draft. I mean, their draft picks, second, third, sixth round, like, I mean, the people that they've picked up who have just become instant contributors, it's like, they have a development culture, which I think is really, really great. I'm not a big fan of Tampa Bay, but the way that you speak about it, but like, I appreciate how the Champa Bay, Tom Brady Bay, whatever you want to call it, just continues to produce.
Just win, baby.
I got a question though, because you posted something on your social media. You went with your daughter.
I did. Yeah.
I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know about you all and even people listening. I didn't grow up going to a lot of games. I don't know why. My parents were immigrants. Maybe that was why they were working. I don't know. I didn't grow up going. I think I went to like one professional sports game as a kid growing up. And I don't feel like I missed anything. I thought that was just kind of just a thing that people did and I didn't do. No big deal. But how was that going to that game with your daughter for two reasons. Number one, just like father-daughter time, mm-hmm. but also I think of like a professional athlete who's won a Super Bowl and has been on the field, and you get a chance to hug your family. And I think I remember seeing a picture of you on the field, I know with your wife, and maybe holding, I might've been holding your daughter. I know you, yeah. you know, I don't, you know, so, but also like, is she watching saying, man, I could do this one day. I could go play a specific sport, or I know you've been to games with your son. So like, what is that experience like as a father who's a pro athlete going to a game with your kid?
Yeah, I think that's what it's all about. Like anytime I can bring a child or multiple children of mine to a game, I definitely try to do that. And it's tough because like we've been to a lot of Tampa Bay hockey games, home games this year, and like they're all fighting for each other to try to go. And this is actually my daughter's first game, first hockey game ever. So for it to be the Stanley Cup was pretty cool. But I mean, my oldest, Ariella, she's my ride or die. Like ever since I started, I mean, my senior year of college all the way until last year, she's been to every home game I've played in, you know? And so she's had a lot of experience in stadiums, and she's been, had a lot of experience at games, and she had a blast. You know, she fits right in. She cheers. We've, like I said, we've been watching the last 3 or 4 years. And so she's kind of dialed in on some of the players and teaching her, you know, some of the rules of hockey, but she's a competitor and she loves sports, loves to try and play different sports. I remember like, shoot, last week she did a volleyball camp. She had never played volleyball before, but she got hit in the face 4 or 5 times in the first day. And as soon as she got in the car, bawling, crying, like boohoo crying. And I was like, well, what do you want to do? And she says, we're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to do it again. And I'm going to learn a different technique and learn how to hit the ball. So it's cool for her to be able to do her own things, you know, and experience her own things, but then also do them with me. It means the world to me. I really enjoy doing that with my kids, and especially for that to be at the game when they win the whole thing. It was just a really special moment for us. And I don't think that we'll ever, you know, forget those types of things.
Dude, I what I love about this too is, you know, I think is each of us are fathers, and, you know, I think when we've got tickets to go to a game, and I think about like the times that my dad would, you know, take me to a Dodger game or Michigan football game, like, and think like now as a father, I didn't think about it as a kid, but I'm like, oh, my dad could have taken one of his friends, but yeah. like actually made the intentional choice to say, hey, game 5, they're going to probably beat Montreal. This would be an experience of a lifetime. I could go like do this with one of my guys, or actually take my daughter. Like what? Like I just think it's a level of intentionality. Like why is it that way with you? Because you both of you guys are so intentional with your kids. But I think for so many of us, like the easier thing is like to kind of call a friend and just go with a friend instead of just kind of bring an 8-year-old to experience something that they might never experience again, because it's the hardest trophy to win. You know what I mean? According to Trey Burton. So, tell me about the intentionality.
No, I guess for me, like I never had those moments. I never had a dad, you know, I never had someone taking me to games like that. So I want to create the memories with my children. I want to, you know, be able to, be a positive impact and then show them. I mean, people were going nuts last night, you know, but like show them like, this is what happens, you know, and like, it's okay to celebrate, you know, it's okay to go crazy when you win, but like, let's do it within, you know, our little group and our little family. And, same for you. Shoot, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you drove across America, right, with your son. Like, I mean, I'm sure you easily could have flown, you know. So I think it's more for all of us just about, like, creating those memories, spending that time, you know, with our kids, sowing into them. And like you said, like, we definitely could be with other people and our grown-up adult friends. But I think it's fun, and I do enjoy being with my kids. And I mean, I'm sure the same as you guys.
But how do you decide? Like, that's the thing I have trouble with, because I got 3 kids as well. And I mean, if I feel like if I pick my daughter, then my son's sad or mad. Or if I pick my son, then my daughter might be sad or mad. Should you divvy it up? Should you just bring everybody all the time? Like, I understand that one-on-one time is super important, but sometimes I find it hard to say, sorry, Caleb, I'm going with Sophia. Or sorry, Sophie and Kay, I'm going with Kelechi. You know what I mean? How do you do that?
So, the way I did it this time was I sat everybody down and I said, hey, Jax, you and I went to the last game. Do you think it's fair that Arya looking girl? Well, I asked my wife first, like, hey, what should we do? Like, let's figure this out, you know? And she's like, no, I think you should go with one of the kids. And I'm like, perfect. Jax, you went last game. Would it be fair for Ariella to go? And he's like, probably. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm probably going to take Ariella. And I talked to Kaya, the baby, like, hey, Kaya, I know you haven't been to a game yet, but I'm going to take Ariella this game. And then we can figure out something else that you would like to do. You tell me, because I try to do like once a month, do like a night with each child, you know, so to kind of split it up that way and then talk to, you know, them each individually, like, hey, what would you like to do this month? Or what would you like to do next? You know? So I kind of just sat them all down and was like, hey, Jax, you already went. Are you okay? Like, are you cool with me taking Ariella? And he says, yeah, that's fair. And I'm like, all right, cool. Perfect. We'll do something else. You know, Kaya, I'm going to take Ariella. You know, you're too young. She's only 4. She can't, you know, stay up till 12 o'clock watching the games and stuff. But yeah, I like to have a conversation with them and tell them what's going on, you know, a lot of times, and just put them all down and let's all talk in front of each other. And let's figure this out.
Are they ever sad or mad after, like, was Jax
disappointed? I wouldn't say he's sad. You know, he's not, he didn't cry. He was disappointed. Obviously he wants to be there with me and wants to do all that. But, he also has to understand that, like, we only have 2 tickets, you know, and you can't come to every single game, and your sister, you know, she needs an opportunity and a turn, and you went to the last one. You know, there's a bunch of things, you know, you can go down. I can always tell him, hey, let's go fishing, you know? And, oh yeah, cool. You want to go fishing tomorrow? Yeah. All right. Well, then I'll go tonight. You know, it's just, you know, try to reason with them, help them understand, like, you know, it's only fair for her to go. And you can't go to every single game. And I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say other than that.
Well, I think it's really helpful, you know, and I said this before, but kids are so perceptive. They're just often crappy interpreters of reality. And so yeah. It's like they perceive, like, oh, dad's taking Jax or dad's taking Ariella. Like, and then it's the story that they create. So I think that intentionality, just to be like, hey, how does this make you feel? And I think healthy disappointment's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
because, for sure.
You know, you guys might know Joey Harrington, but, like, you know, I don't think Joey Harrington ever was disappointed in life until he went to Detroit, you know, and because I think he had won. And I don't think he had tasted disappointment. And I think when we actually have to experience healthy disappointment and it's almost coached or talked through and we're invited into the conversation, I feel like it prepares us for life, which is filled, chock full of disappointments, but we know how to handle it. You know what I mean? And you're also giving them a healthy framework, which I think is fantastic, which I just absolutely love. One of the things that we do with our kids is when Sarah and I, we were dating and we were living different states. I was in Michigan, she was in Arizona. And we always, every time we left, we had another date on the calendar. And so we'd always like say, hey, if we're going to do something with Mercy, Emerson, we got this date on the calendar. So we always like, so they have something to look forward to. Always wanted to try to showcase, hey, I'm doing this with E, we're driving across country, but Merce, we're actually going to get a puppy in July, you know? And so it's like this like thing that we want to talk about disappointment, but it's always connected to hope that there's something more.
Yeah. It gives them something to look forward to.
Exactly. Exactly. Like the fishing example that you said, like, hey, you want to go fishing tomorrow? That's hope. You know what I mean? It gives them something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can definitely be better there. Cause sometimes I'm either like, okay, bring everybody. If you're going to cry, then nobody goes. You know what I mean? Like, if that's like, then nobody goes. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, or it's like, dude, we'll figure it out. Like, just let this, you know, Caleb, let Sophia go. We'll figure it. You'll be fine. You know, but I think sometimes I'm a little bit hard. And I think it's that like healthy disappointment too, because it's like, oh man, I want everything to go, Tim to be safe. You know what I mean? My oldest, I want him to be safe, everything to be okay. And I don't want him to, you know, and I think I can be a lot better at that healthy disappointment piece. It's like, you might cry, you might whine, but you're going to live. It's going to be okay. And we'll do something later, you know, but I think just deep down, there's that fear of like, oh, what if he tells this story that's not true? And then it ends up, you know, messing him up growing up, you know, like that's the lies that sometimes we tell ourselves. I tell myself.
But I would argue that giving your child everything they want would mess them up even more than giving them healthy disappointment. In my opinion, you know, I know people that have been given a lot in their upbringing and, you know, they kind of expect things now. And instead of expecting things, you know, it's more of like, this is an opportunity. This is a, like we talk about like in our family treats, like we don't really do sweets and candies and that type of stuff, but that's a whole nother story. But every time you do get it, it's a treat, you know, it's not something you should have every single day, every single meal. It's just supposed to be special. and supposed to mean something more than, you know, having skills every single day. If you have skills every day, skills ain't going to mean anything, you know, when it really matters. So that's kind of our thought process, you know, from that.
The important, that is so beautiful, because that's the importance of like semantics, you know. I mean, it's like, we don't use the word allowance because, like, you know, I just think it just teaches you to be like, this is what I deserve. No, it's like, there's stuff that you do to actually get, and so trying to teach work ethic, you know, and like, oh yeah, treats, like this is something that like you've earned, or, you know, I think that language to help our kids, I think sometimes we've made it softer. Hey, real quick, I just, you know, for those of you listening, you can't see this, but it feels like Trey and I, we have the same wall color. I just think we're not in the same room, but like, it feels very, very similar. Just, and then over, like, I got Sam sitting on this amazing chair, but is that a picture of Terrell Owens on the bottom? I'm so ADD. Like, is that Terrell Owens or is that?
No, I can go pull it up. So that's a painting of
Terrell Owens.
That's a T.O. painting. He was my hero. No. So it's Emmanuel and I, and I'm going to pull it up. Yeah. Okay. So like, we played, obviously y'all know my brother. We played together in college and we played against each other in the NFL. And so there's a picture that we got made. Give me 1 second. There's a picture that we got made while we were in the NFL. I was playing for the Arizona Cardinals. He was playing for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, I love it.
We took this picture probably before the game, maybe after the game. And then someone came and painted it. They made a painting of it. So it's pretty dope. Emmanuel has one in his house, and I have one in my house. And it's got the Cardinals, got the Eagles. And it's just one of those things. Like, we talk about friendships a lot. I think you and I, Steve, and even Trey, talk about friendships. And I always talk about, man, I got this group of, you know, 3-4 guys, like my core friend group. And I rarely put my brother in that group.
Mm.
But if I ever hear my brother talk about like his go-to people, he almost always has me in his group. And I don't know why I never thought about it that way, but it just seems like anytime I got something going on, whether it's you, Steve, or even Trey or other friends, they'll be like, well, ask your brother about it. He's been through it.
Yeah.
What does he think? If it's family, he gets the family dynamics. He knows the transition. And for whatever reason, I never thought about it that way. But if you just look at my life or even in our lives, like, this picture goes with me everywhere. You know what I mean? It's just a reminder that, like, yes, there is a friend that sits closer than a brother, but man, God gave me a good brother. You know what I mean? And you know, we do this Bible study. I do this Bible study on Tuesday and Thursdays with some friends. And we were talking last week about how it was in Mark, and Jesus was teaching and preaching, and, you know, somebody came and said, hey, Jesus, your mother and brothers are outside. And he looked at the crowd. He said, you know, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he points at the crowd. He says, y'all are his disciples who were there. He's like, y'all are my mother. Y'all are my brothers. Y'all are my family. And it was just this cool reminder of like, yes, you don't get to choose your biological family, but you get to choose your friends. And Emmanuel, for me, is just a really good friend. So that's what the picture is for those who can see it.
I love it. I just saw the Eagles colors and the number one. And so that, because it was in the corner. So I was like, it's got to be T.O. I love it. Yeah. But that's awesome. Such a better story. Such a better story.
Better than T.O. Even though T.O. did break his fibula and played on it. Like I did. I broke my fibula and I was like, 6 weeks? Nah, no, sir. Give me 6 months.
have you had any conversations with your brother since about joining the ESPN?
Yeah, I have. And initially he wasn't overly excited just because, I mean, he's got a deal at Fox and there's some major opportunities there. And he's like, bro, let's come. And I mean, y'all were joking earlier about ESPN, the Ocho, but he's like, dude, let's take over. Like they're about to give me a show. I want you on it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the reason why I was auditioning, but also that's also part of the reason why, even though I had this whole plan to move to Texas, we had put our house on the, you know, pretty much we're going to rent our house out here in Chicago. We're going to move to Texas, got into schools for the kids, everything. Then I went out there and I was like, crap, like I might have to move to LA. And I was willing to do that because I loved him straight up. And I talked to my wife, she was like, if that's the opportunity, let's do it. But I was willing to change the entire plan and move. And I don't even like LA. Like, you know, this just seems super fake to me. Sorry for our LA listeners. But I was ready to go out there, and then got the ESPN offer. He was like, hey, that's dope. He even helped me out with that too, because he used to work at ESPN. So he's like, hey, maybe send this email, send that. So I got the ESPN offer. But even before I signed, he said, hey, before you sign, just let me know what they're telling you, because we got stuff in the works over here. Mm-hmm. And so before I signed, I let him know, but there's a whole nother story. But the long and short of it is, like, Fox wasn't really they weren't ready to give him the opportunity that he in so many ways deserved. Mm-hmm. And so would have been waiting for a year or two, or, you know what I mean? And, and ESPN's like, dude, we want you now. And we want to use you all the time. Whereas Fox was like, oh, we'll wait and see, you know? And so it just seemed more like ESPN wanted me for me, and the people at Fox were trying to do my brother a favor. That's what it seemed like. And so anyways, and we've talked, he's like, dude, I'm happy now. He's like, dude, you made the right decision. Super happy. He's sad that we may not be able to have our show together just now. Yeah. But, I mean, God works in mysterious ways, you know, and even like the lady who, so like quick backstory, Emmanuel was at ESPN, amazing at ESPN, doing great. He wanted more opportunity, and he realized that ESPN, he wasn't going to get it there. So Fox was like, dude, we'll give you whatever you want. And so he's like, hey, ESPN, I want to stay, but Fox is going to give me whatever I want. And essentially ESPN's like, well, you can, in so many ways, like they let him walk in so many ways. And he wasn't happy about it. But there's even like a full circle story where like the same people who let him walk signed the contract to let me come in and stay. So it's on, you know, I don't even know if it's like, maybe they, part of them, they regret their decision or maybe another piece of it too is like, dude, like we see you, we see the talent, we don't want to let it go. So anyways, yeah, he's happy for sure. And I'm gonna see him this weekend, but I know there's a little bit of like disappointment, because it was like, dude, who knows if this could ever happen again.
Sam, I mean, it's funny because, you know, we talking about Trey kind of sitting his kids down and basically saying, hey, not now, not now. Okay, we're going to get a go. Yeah, what was that like for you? You know, when you're like, I mean, it's probably easy for you to like, almost like Jack's going, oh man, this is game five. I could maybe go with dad. Like maybe I could, you know, like you almost can start to envision the storyline of like being there for a Stanley Cup or having a show together. How did you handle the disappointment of like, oh man, like it, obviously you had this other opportunity, but like in the sense of like, how do you typically handle disappointment when things don't go, whether, hey, you didn't get called by a team to sign, or you didn't get the offer you wanted, or yeah. How do you typically handle that?
Yeah. I mean, this situation specifically, I'll talk generally first. Generally, I don't do well with disappointment. I don't, because I have high expectations for myself. Sometimes probably put too much pressure on myself, but I think, you know, with God, all things are possible. So then when people don't see it, I get really frustrated, because I'm like, guys, God can do it. You know what I mean? Like, trust me, we, you know? And so, and oftentimes like I'll get pretty sad and I probably won't want to talk about it, or, you know what I mean? So generally I don't do well with disappointment. Specifically with this situation, it was a little bit different because I was open to whatever God was going to do. Mind you, I don't like LA. Like, my personality is very much, I wrote a book about authenticity, and you go to LA, literally everyone there is an actor. You know what I mean? Like, literally, like, it's like, yeah, I came here to be in Hollywood and I want to see if I can use you, not even to know you, but so you can help me get the next job. And so while I'm auditioning, mind you, they had me audition before there was even a show with Emmanuel opportunity. I was auditioning for something different. And the audition went really, really well. And the people, and some of the people there were like, oh, you're definitely going to be here long term. So like the disappointment was, oh no, I'm not going to be able to go to Dallas or stay in Chicago. I'm moving to LA. And not just me, my whole family. And then so that's where I was initially. And then God reminded me, like, dude, like, I am in control. I'll work it out. And in so many ways, God told me, he was like, you're going to have options. That's kind of was the feeling. And so even getting the offer from ESPN, which they're based out of Bristol, Connecticut, while I'm in LA, that in so many ways was options. And then I waited. And ESPN's initial offer was like 2-year commitment. We want to use you. Whereas Fox's was more like, we'll see. And even so many ways, we told Fox, hey guys, like Sam has a 2-year offer, 2-year commitment from ESPN. And they're like, oh, you know, let him go to ESPN and we'll come get him in 2 years like he did with his brother. So I was like, cool, great. No issues. What's almost like trade. Cool. Great. Let's go to ESPN. So for me, it was that simple. And the hard part though is just having the conversation, because I was confused, because I was like, I thought Emmanuel wanted me at Fox. Why would the main guy there tell me not to come? So there was this confusion of maybe they don't like what they saw, you know. But then I had to remember what I had.
Yeah.
I had to remember what I had. So often we get focused on what we don't have. I needed to remember what I had. It's like, dude, I have an offer from the worldwide leader in sports. I have an offer from people who said, like, the talent people there are like, dude, we think he could be the next big thing. And my agent was like, that guy who said that, he doesn't say that. I've known him for 20 years. He doesn't say that. He said it like 2 times. So number one, I have an offer from the worldwide leader. Number two, they actually believe in me. And number three, they're giving me a chance just to get reps, to get better, to practice. Like, so remembering that has probably been, that's the thing I probably suck at the worst. I'm the worst at, because I get distracted by what I don't have and what didn't work and what I'm not getting and what everyone else has, as opposed to saying, you know what, God, like, you've changed the old me and you've made me new. So forget what everybody else has to do. Like, it was the coolest thing. We had a meeting with our financial advisor yesterday, my wife and I, and they kind of showed us this thing of like, man, in 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, if you just continue, for lack of better terms, investing at a steady rate, like, it'll just go like this. And I never seen myself that way. I always was like, man, I got to have this meteoric rise. Then I'll be set. I got to just fly off the charts. Then people will know me. And in so many ways, God was like, dude, it's already done. Just trust me. And it's just going to, little by little, not overnight, not meteoric, but over time. And that's, I think, oftentimes what we don't see. We get sad or frustrated or disappointed by what's not happening. Like Trey, right? Trey's played, what, 7, 8 years in the NFL. Could play more, right? Hasn't signed yet. Has interest from different teams. He's waiting for a better offer. Even if he doesn't play another down, like, the future's bright. And who knows? He might play another 3 more years. Tampa Bay might sign. You know, you never know. Steve, right? Like, you could have said, man, I was supposed to be the guy at Willow Creek and I was taking over this, you know, they gave me the keys. And all of a sudden it got pulled from out from under me. But God's like, bro, you don't see 20 years, 40 years, 60 years down the line. And so for me, I have gotten better in talking about how I feel about things emotionally. Like, I'm looking at something I wrote just the other day. I can't read the whole thing right now, but it says, like, dear old me, thank you. Thank you. And then it goes on to say, like, I'm scared. This is before I announced the ESPN. It's like, I'm scared, right? But then God reminded me, like, you're not here to please everybody else. Please me. Please me, and I'll take care of everything else. And then also, by the way, let the world see you. Remember who you are. And so when I can write out how I feel, that usually helps center me and remind me that God has already cleared the path and I don't have to worry about tomorrow.
I think it's really, really beautiful. I think in the moments of disappointment, it's so easy to focus and get distracted on what we don't have, rather than grasp what we do have And I love how you just said that. I think that's so, so beautiful. I think this week has been a week of really watching people's disappointments come to light, you know. And, you know, the one that I think about just off the top of my head is, you know, Sha'Carri Richardson and just the disappointment of losing her mom. And, you know, and just like that story, that heartbreak, that just, I mean, she was set to, you know, do incredible things at the Olympics. And obviously a positive drug test has changed that. And not just like, if you're just listening to this, not positive in the sense of HGH or Balco or anything that's like performance enhancing, but literally marijuana. And so, and she wrote, I think, one of the most honest and like human responses to how she chose to handle her disappointment. And she went to something that she knew. And really, like, in so many ways, I was reading this, I was like, this is exactly why I wrote The Thing Beneath the Thing. I mean, this was like the heart, like she was able to vocalize, like, this is where I went in my sadness. I don't know. Like, I don't know how that story affected you two, just in the sense of, gosh, like, man, like, here's this amazing, amazing woman. Here's being honest. And obviously it's a rule, but it doesn't feel like it's a rule that like, allows her to run faster. But it was a coping mechanism. And now, gosh, like, she's unable to run. How did that story affect you two? Trey, let me start with you.
See, man, like, in my opinion, she has so much respect from me for just being honest and talking about what happened and, you know, not necessarily like why or anything like that, but like, she could have easily turned to Lance Armstrong and be like, no, I didn't do it, you know, and lie to everybody's face. And then, you know, and it's all like the trainer, the horse trainer we talked about, you know, a month or two ago, like, bro, come on, man. Like, let's be serious. You know, you're going to sit there and lie to people's face and people that support you and your family and, you know, whatever, but like just pure honesty is something you don't see often, in professional sports, you know, in general, and shoot, in any level of sports, you don't see much pure honesty. So people that are honest like that, I tend to respect, you know, way more. And hopefully, like we talked about last week or so, that it's, I mean, it's tough to come back for, you have to wait 4 years, you know, until you have another, Olympics, but hopefully, you know, she will learn her lessons. And I'm excited to see, you know, the impact it's going to make on multiple communities, you know, different levels of communities of just her, number one, her being honest. And then number two, like, man, she messed up and people realizing like, oh, we gotta, this is a rule. This is what said, this is what you can and can't do. And you can't cross those lines. And so we got to kind of tighten up, you know, what some other people are doing, you know, off the field or off the court or off the ice. Sam?
Yeah, no, it's, my response initially was straight empathy. Like, all I could think of was, I just saw all these people on Twitter seemingly throwing stones. And I thought about the verse, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And that's still my feeling and response. But there's another side that I don't think people are talking about as much, at least that I didn't even notice. There's another group of people that are saying, well, hey, let her run. It was just weed. Let her run. And almost like, if you don't, I'm going to boycott the Olympics. My opinion is that, no, Sha'Carri shouldn't run. She knew what the rule was. She went and said, hey, I broke the rule. I'll deal with the punishment. So no, she shouldn't run, but she should learn. And we should all learn. Like, Steve, your book, The Thing Beneath the Thing, you talk about it, the potholes. Like, sometimes something happens and it's like, oh man, we go back to those things that we always knew. For her, weed. For others, alcohol. For others, they're different kind of drugs. For others, it's sex. Maybe food for some. So I have 2 points. My first point is, before we start throwing stones at Sha'Carri, let's think about what causes us pain and where do we go? What is our thing beneath the thing? But also, no, she shouldn't run. She knew the rule. She admitted the rule. And oh, by the way, if you allow her to run, you're taking a spot away from someone else, like the 4x1. So she's not in the Olympics at all. If they were going to make an exception for her, they'd have to take a spot away from somebody who plays fourth, fifth, or sixth. And if you look at those people's statistics, one of them has like the third fastest time this year. Another one has the top eight fastest time ever. And another one has like the fifth fastest time this year. All Black women as well, for those who want to make it about race, right? Not about race. And so I think there's two extremes and we need to come to the middle. We don't need to, people are like hating on her for making a mistake. No, she made it. She admitted it. But also we don't need to just ignore the rule that was in place and let her run. Because think about like the NFL players who miss games for marijuana. You want to let them all play? Think about, you know what I mean? Like, just because I'm a huge fan of Sha'Carri, but we can change the rule after the fact. We don't need to go back and retroactively change the rule because of what? She said, I will deal with the punishment. Let her learn. It's almost like we talked about with kids. Like, we sometimes kids need to learn. I need to be better at this. Hey, dude, you didn't do your assignment. So, no, we're not going to go outside today. We're not going to get ice cream. And you knew that if you didn't do the assignment, well, you were sad. I get it. But let's work on what are better ways to deal with our sadness, with our grief, with our frustration, and also with the pressure. Because there was pressure. Yes, you lost your mom. That couldn't imagine. But also you had pressure to perform to be the best. So if that's how you alleviate your pressure, let's find out maybe different ways, because it's illegal for your sport. And yeah.
Well, and I say, I think there's so much of that I resonate deeply with, you know, and I think the empathy piece, I think it's beautiful. I mean, I think it's just starting with that conversation, getting curious. Why? I think what's hard for me though, is like when things aren't across the board. So like if I took the USA men's basketball team, like, and they were to pee in a cup, would you going to tell me that there's no weed like with those guys? And that's an assumption. That's probably not fair, but like make an assumption like is like, and weed's not a performance enhancing. Like now it's a coping and it's I think it's like there's these older rules that I think in some ways that I think you're right have to be addressed. But I think like even this brings up like with the NFL or with college, like you're going to now have states where states have legalized this. You know what I mean? And so now, and then you have kids who've grown up in the system that are like, oh, this is how we were taught to cope with stuff. So I think like then all of a sudden with all of that pressure, with the disappointment, like for me, I wish, and she probably had this, I don't know, but like, who were those people in her inner circle who were just like, hey, come spend time with me. You know, I got you. Like, you know, don't forget what you have. And what you have is an opportunity to have a gold medal. What you have is an opportunity to bring honor to your mom. What you have is this, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, you know, but it's, yeah.
See, I personally can't empathize with NFL players that test positive for weed because the reason is, you know, you're getting tested. Yeah. And you know when you're going to get tested. You don't get tested all year long. You do one test. And if you pass that one test a year, you're good. So I don't understand that. Like that just doesn't make any sense. You know, you see guys that continuously are boom, getting popped. But like, bro, like there's a month or two during the whole entire year where you just got to watch out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every other, after that, it's whatever. You know what I mean? Like to your point, like I don't know how many guys in the NBA and I don't know their rules or the way that they do their street drug testing, but I would imagine it's very similar. It's all preseason stuff, you know, before the season starts, they test you, you're clean in that test, you're good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how a lot of people do it, you know, around the league and stuff. So NFL, it might be different. And I don't know about in the track world or any other sports, but I know specifically for the NFL, like, I mean, it's tough for me to have empathy for people that know when it's going to happen and when it's coming.
Can I just ask one NFL question about this? Cause, and this will be total ignorance, but I feel like I feel like I always have Josh Gordon on my fantasy football roster, you know, and it starts out well, like, and then like, but is there like a three strikes law? Like, I feel like some guys have been, I feel like banned, but like, but you can like reinstate. And how many times can you reinstate? Like, is it different? Is it like different drugs? I don't know. I think this is like, I feel like every year, I feel like there's guys who are able to reinstate.
Well, we have a guy that could answer your question on our podcast, fortunately. So, hey, Sam.
Executive PA member.
And I don't know the answer. Like, funny enough, like, I don't know the answer. Partly because, like, I'm like, well, I ain't got to worry about that because I ain't doing no drugs. but usually people ask, I say, let me find that out for you. So I'm not 100% sure of that. But what I do know, just Trey, to your point, you said you don't have a lot of empathy for NFL players who knew they were getting tested. Well, two things. One, I believe Sha'Carri knew when she was getting tested as well. It's usually race day or the day before, right? So there's that. But the bigger issue, I think that not many people are talking about, is the reason why marijuana is illegal. So there's a dude named Harry Anslinger who was the first commissioner of the U.S. Treasury Department's Federal Bureau of Narcotics. He also was racist. He talked about his dislike for blackies. This is the things that he would say. And go watch a video my brother just posted about this, and I tweeted something about it as well. But the long and short of it is he made it seem like marijuana was this he tied marijuana to like these horrible offenses that people had, and said, because he saw black people, Hispanics, other minorities, you know, he said it gave them bravado to make them think they were, you know, better than they are. And so he said, hey, this drug, this marijuana thing is why the murders happen. It's why they're killing. It's why, you know what I mean? And so anyways, because of that, marijuana became illegal. Now I'm not an advocate. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't smoke. Maybe some people do. Maybe I don't. I haven't. But the reason behind it needs to be addressed, why it's illegal. But I don't think it needs to be. I don't think it Sha'Carri needs to run now. It needs to be addressed and then fixed moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's it. I just think that's the interesting piece, is like what rules we have in place that are antiquated or like just aren't actually for the right reasons. But I do feel like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Sam, and that's super helpful, because I just think like for some of us, we're, you know, if I think we, it's this lends the whole grace and truth conversation. Like, some of us are on the gray side, are like, let her run. Like, she's grieving. Some people are the truth. There was a rule. She broke the rule. She can't run. Like, it's, and I think it is like, how do you walk in both? And how can you get really, really curious? But I will say, to Trey's point, the way that she has been and owned it, and I think just been so honest, gosh, it's just you want people like that to win. You want people like that to have a chance.
Sure.
You just because of how she just actually was emotionally honest. Guys, this was a fun conversation talking about disappointment. I thought I was going to get a phone call to go to game five, but it's cool. I think you made the right call. But you got something, Trey.
So we're going to prophesy about disappointment here really quick. I just got an update, breaking news today, 2 minutes ago. UNC, Florida, Michigan, Oklahoma to play in the Jumpman Invitational. It's a 3-year deal. They're going to be playing in Charlotte basketball preseason. So we're going to prophesy your disappointment over the next 3 years for week one or preseason of basketball, when Florida is going to absolutely demolish Michigan in basketball. So go ahead. You can finish this up now. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, it's hey, thanks for the breaking news. That's amazing. When we have the number one recruiting class, we've got Juwan Howard. We've got the swagger of Jalen Rose. Chris Weber's now back in good graces.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, we've got Juwan Howard. I mean, Ray Jackson, Jimmy King. I mean, Rob Pelinka is the
Juwan
GM.
Howard.
Yeah, Juwan Howard. So I'm just saying, hey, Florida, who do you have? Teddy Dupe? You have Billy Donovan? Yoakim Noah?
Yeah, I wish. Exactly. Billy Donovan. How did that work out for you last year, all those guys?
Oh, it was great, man. We were like the Cubs in 2015. We peaked 1 year too early, but this year we're coming. Everyone's coming back. We've won the transfer portal. This is going to be great. And if we...
No, we've won the transfer portal this year.
Oh, my goodness. No, you didn't. Real quick. Do we play each other?
Yes. It's a tournament.
Oh, this is fantastic. I'm dropping whatever. I will be there. And, dude, and if we win, this is going to be bad for you, bro. And it's going to be bad for you.
I would hope so. But the chances of that are very slim. So let's do it.
To use your lingo, you're going to be boohoo crying.
Boohoo crying,
Trey Burton.
I love it.
Hey, if Michigan wins, I need a picture with your dog, you and your dog. I don't have a dog.
I have no dog. No dog. I am not responsible for dog.
Not my dog.
These guys are cracking up. See, like I told you, they give me so much crap, man. Before we start pressing record, these guys are just nonstop on me. So my wife thought it was a great idea for the second time to buy a dog. I'm not a big dog guy at all. And they found out about it. They've been giving it to me every time before we, you know, press record. So she bought a dog, her dog, and she's very happy. So I'm happy for her and my family and my kids. It's good. Gosh.
I love little Harbaugh. It's a beautiful dog. It's just like little Harbaugh. It's just like every time I see your wife walk in Harbaugh, I just think it's fantastic. She's such a beautiful, beautiful dog. So Harbaugh.
I don't know about that. I don't know about all that. Wouldn't go that far.
We didn't get to talk about Scottie Pippen. We might have to come back to that because he's been saying some stuff that I think is pretty fascinating, but that's for another time. But everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. Sam Acho, congratulations. We're so excited for you at ESPN. You're going to just amazing. And Trey, thanks for your intentionality talking about that, bringing your daughter to see Game 5. And, let's see if the Rays can actually win one. You feel good about them?
Yeah, I feel good about all Florida sports. Actually, even, go Gators, even, go Bolts,
go Hurricanes,
go Rays,
go Seminoles, go UCF,
go USF, go FPCU. All right, I'm done.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. We'll be back next Thursday. We'll see you, and I hope when you find yourself feeling disappointment, think about what Sam said. Don't get distracted on what you don't have. Stay focused on what you do have and watch what God does. Have a great week, everyone. Grace and peace.